नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। एवं योगा अनुभावेन दंतत्यो नवमानयो शतं व्यक्तियु शरदः कामा लालस्यो मनात् एवं योगानुभावेन दंपत्यो रमानयः शतं व्यक्तियु शरदः कामलालस्यो मनात् एवं योगानुभावेन दंपत्यो रममानयोः शतं व्यतियु शरदा कामलालस्यो मनात्। एवं योगानुभावेन दंपत्यो रममानयोः शतं व्यतियु शरदा कामलालस्यो मनात् एवं योगानुभावेन दंपत्यो रममानयोः शतं व्यतियु शरदा कामलालस्यो मनात् एवं योगानुभावेन दंपत्यो रममानयोः शतं व्यतियु शरदा कामलालस्यो मनात् अनुभावेन दंपत्यो रममानयोः शतं व्यतियु शरदा कामलालस्यो मनात्। एवं योगानुभावेन दंपत्यो रममानयोः कामलालस्यो मनात् एवं योगानुभावेन रममानयोः शतं व्यतियु शरदा कामलालस्यो मनात् एवं दस योगा अनुभावेनो by yogic powers दंपत्यो the couple रममानयो now enjoying themselves शतं 100 गतियु past शरदः autumns kama sexual pleasure lalasayo who were eagerly longing for manak like a short time while the couple who eagerly longed for sexual pleasure were thus enjoying themselves by virtue of mystic powers 100 autumns passed like a brief span of time. Next verse. Tasyam adhatta netastam bhavayanyatmanatmavit nota vidhaya rupam sam sarvasankalpavid vibhu. The powerful Kardama Muni was the knower of everyone's heart, and he could grant whatever one desired. Knowing the spiritual soul, he regarded her as half of his body. Dividing himself into nine forms, he impregnated Devahuti with nine discharges of semen. Purport. Since Kardama Muni could understand that Devahuti wanted many children, at the first chance he begot nine children at one time. He is described here as Vibhu, the most powerful master. By his yogic power, he could at once produce nine daughters in the womb of Devahuti. Om Ajnana Sinirandasya Giranjana Shalakaya Chakshur Nidhitam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manovistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Shayam Rupa Kadamayam Tathati Sapadantikam Vandeham Sri Gura Sri Jata Pada Kamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamsa Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raganatam Jitam Stam Sajivam Sajaitam Shavadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakandhamsa E Krishna Karana Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Tanta Ratha Tanta Namostate Tata Tam Shunagaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchako Patarubhyascha Kripa Sindhavya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Ajaita Gadadhar Srivas Adi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Evam Yoganu Pavina Dampatyo Ramamana Yoga Shatam Jatiyu Sharada Kamalala Sayor Manat Tasyam Adhatta Vetasam Bhavayan Atmana Atmanatma Vit Nodha Vitaya Rupam Sun Sarvasan Kulpa Vit Vipu Shatam Yatiyu Sharadam. And 100 years passed just like that. This is called Avaranatmika Shakti. The Lord has material potency, spiritual potency. So the material potency is divided into two, the Prakshepatmika Shakti and Avaranatmika Shakti. The potency that throws the conditioned soul into the material world, and the potency that covers him so that he thinks, oh, this is nice. However miserable the condition, somehow the spirit soul who identifies with matter thinks, well, it's not so bad. And especially in under illusion, he thinks, let me enjoy. Let me enjoy. And the number one enjoyment is sex enjoyment. And when one is enjoying sex life, then he forgets about everything else. He becomes preoccupied with the so-called happiness of sex. Therefore, in Srimad Bhagavatam, Nidraya Hriyate Noktam Yavavayena Chavavaya Deva Charite Haya Rajan Kutumba Bharanenava. This is the engagement of the materialistic person at night, spending his time in sex life, and or sleeping. And divacharteya rajan. If you want to enjoy sex life, then you have to make a lot of money. You have to engage in fruitive work. That's also in the Bhagavad Gita, when Lord Krishna explains the three modes of nature and their binding force. The mode of passion binds one to hard work. The mode of passion binds one to work. Well, no one likes to work. If you want to get me to work, you have to pay me. And if you don't pay me enough, I go on strike. But then why are people working for sex enjoyment? They get some money, and then they spend it on their wives or the expansions in the form of children, family members. And later Lord Kapildev will describe that one becomes enchanted by the sweet words of his wife, by her loving embraces, by the movements of her eyes, then by the children, by their broken words, by their jumping up and down and doing so many their childish movements. One becomes enchanted. And one thinks that this is what life is for. Just if my wife is happy, if my children are happy, if my family is happy, then what more do I want out of life? Family happiness. So family happiness means family illusion. Let's take it that it's happy. But that happiness means that I become absorbed in that happiness, and then my time is disappearing. The human life is given for, let's say, 100 years or less, and when one becomes absorbed in enjoying sex happiness and the happiness that comes from the expansions of sex, the time is disappearing. As mentioned here, 100 years go just like that. And just like that, time is passing. And one forgets. One forgets. I have to do this, I have to do that. He just becomes mad. Nunam pramatta. He becomes mad. Time is disappearing. The time which is so valuable that he's obtained this human life after so many lifetimes, and now the time is slipping away, slipping away, slipping away, and he doesn't notice. He doesn't notice. His youth is going, he's entering old age, even old age is going, and he doesn't think beyond sex life. Did I mention there was some study done by an American magazine within the last couple of months, and they found that among the old people, people over 65 or something like that, over 70, were having sex some few times a week or something like that. They're going on with sex life and enjoying. And as long as something is there from sex life, even in old age, it's like stale biscuits, you know? A biscuit is tasty, but when it's stale, there's hardly any taste. But still, something is better than nothing. You're going on eating that stale biscuit and saying, well, it's not so bad, it's actually... So in their 70s and 80s, they're still chewing on these stale biscuits and trying to get some taste. And because they have these stale biscuits, they're forgetting about everything else. Still, sex life is there. My wife loves me, I love her, da 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 da. Elsewhere, in the fourth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, these passing days and nights are allegorically described as the soldiers of Chandavega. The city is described as being like a... the body is described as being like a city, and the city is being assaulted by time. And the soldiers of time are these passing days and nights. So these time is plundering our energy. Finally, we become weak, we become old, we become finished. Life is over, practically over, and all there is left is just your final battle against death, which is finally lost, and then you have to go to the next body. So this is misery, the misery of old age, the misery of death, to be followed next by the misery of rebirth. And we don't know what kind of birth that will be, but it doesn't matter, whatever birth it is, if there's sex life, we'll be happy. The pigs are happy with their sex life, the dogs are happy with their sex life, the insects, little tiny insects, and they're flying around, and because they're flying around in couples, they're happy. The spirit soul is confined to a body that big, and it can't do anything more than fly around and eat and have sex, and still happy. This is Avaranatmika Shakti, the bewildering potency of the material nature. And the most bewildering feature of material nature is the sex life. So it's Maya's cruel arrangement that one is, instead of having to be forcibly shackled, he's volunteering. Let me be shackled and suffer. Enjoyment means ramamani, or enjoyment means suffering. Enjoyment in this material world means suffering. Even if it's enjoyable, first thing is it may not be very enjoyable. I'm trying to enjoy, but I'm not enjoying. There's so many anxieties, there's so many problems, there's so many dramas, there's so many, such hard work, there's so much trouble, diseases from overindulgence, there's so many things. While I'm enjoying also, it may be suffering, but even taking it that I'm enjoying, I'm losing my life. And setting myself up to continue in the cycle of repeated birth and death. So even if we think that now I'm enjoying, which most likely I'm not, which definitely I'm not, but even taking it that I'm enjoying, That enjoyment means future suffering. Usually it means present suffering, but definitely it means future suffering. But because there's some immediate enjoyment, I think this is nice. So this is called avaranatmika shakti, or the covering potency of maya. Maybe we'll stop there for now. Are there some questions? Krishna consciousness means to become free from this maya by becoming attracted to Krishna. The spirit soul is attracted to matter falsely because it's got long hair and bright eyes and soft skin and this and that. He's attracted to the illusory energy and the activities in connection with the illusory energy. Even if the world is so weird, this is a perverted reflection of reality. And they're getting enjoyment, not even from that perverted reflection of reality, but from a projection of the perverted reflection of reality. Instead of enjoying sex life, they're going to a movie and watching somebody else enjoy sex life. The boy meets the girl and this and that, and they embrace and so many things. So it's not even sex life, it's somebody else's sex life. And that also it's not even some real person's sex life, it's someone's imagination of someone's sex life. The characters are imaginary, the sex life is imaginary, it's all imaginary. And he's watching what are really just little dots put together in different ways and focused on the screen. Anyway, he's watching these little dots which form the imagination that someone has about sex life, and he's enjoying that. So he's enjoying a projection of a perverted reflection of a perverted reflection of a perverted reflection of the real thing. The real enjoyment is there in the spiritual world. The real enjoyment is there. But that real enjoyment cannot be understood by those who are absorbed in the false enjoyment. To appreciate and understand that real enjoyment, one has to become disgusted with the false enjoyment of this material world. As long as I'm thinking I'm this body, as long as I'm thinking I'll be happy by sense gratification, I'll never understand the enjoyment of the spiritual world. Therefore, people are reading something, Bhagavatam, or hearing some professional recitation, Bhagavatam or Krishna Lila, and they're thinking, yes, Krishna is so this, that. And they're thinking that Krishna is enjoying something like what they're enjoying. But it's not at all like what they're enjoying. Krishna is not at all like them, and Krishna's enjoyment is not at all like their enjoyment. Their enjoyment is a struggle to falsely control and possess and derive pleasure from what is not theirs and what they cannot enjoy. Just like a man who's trying to enjoy like a woman, or a woman who's trying to enjoy like a man. It's just a show. It's an impossibility that they're trying to make possible. They're busy in that impossible struggle and thinking that they understand Krishna, or thinking that they can taste Krishna Lila, at the same time that they're tasting this garbage. So that's not possible. Nivritta Krishna, what is that?
Abhigyamana, huh? That those who are free from this thirst for Maya, they can appreciate the nectar of Krishna. They can appreciate the nectar of Krishna. Or, if we hear this nectar of Krishna from the authorized source, even though we may still have some taste for this false enjoyment, hearing the real vibration, hearing the vibration of the transcendental reality administered by the right person will cure our taste for this inferior enjoyment. Therefore, there's no use hearing from the professional reciters. They're reciting for sex life. I'll recite, I'll get money, and I'll use the money for my family life and sex life. Sukadev Goswami did not speak Srimad Bhagavatam for sex life. He didn't speak it to endorse or enhance the false enjoyment of this material world. Nor was Maharaj Pariksit interested in something for enhancing his material enjoyment. He'd already discarded everything to sit on the bank of the Ganga and leave this material world behind. So hearing from the professional reciters won't have the desired effect. It will be useless. Or hearing the Krishna Lila or Krishna bhajans from the lips of persons who are addicted to material enjoyment will not have the desired effect. But when we hear Krishna Lila, Krishna Kata, Krishna Nam, Krishna everything from the realized souls or from those who are following in the footsteps of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then the transcendental effect gradually takes hold, so that even though I may have some material attachments, by hearing that transcendental vibration, I become attracted to the transcendental reality. And raso varjam raso pyasya param drishtvani vartate. When I become fascinated by that transcendental vibration, then I lose my fascination for this material dim reflection. And just as the person, he gets some real biscuits, he forgets about the stale, tasteless, useless ones. Or if he gets a big feast, then he forgets about the tasteless biscuits. So when one gets the actual mercy of Krishna coming through the disciplic succession, coming from the authorized acharyas, then he becomes cured of this hridrog, this heart disease, and he can enjoy vidyayamritam ashnute, avidyayamrityum tirtva. Vidyam mitanashmite, vidyam cha vidyam cha yas. When one knows that this so-called material enjoyment is simply ignorance, and that the real enjoyment is in the spiritual world, or the world of devotional service to Krishna, then one transcends this trap of birth and death, and goes back home, back to Godhead. Any questions?
Even in the spiritual life, when we are, it is described that when the spiritual thing is enjoyed. That also seems like so many years have just went by just one day.
When there's what?
When one person is enjoying spiritually, trying to serve.
That's good.
Many days may pass off just as a moment.
That's nice. Materially, the time is passing by just like that and being lost. And spiritually, the time is passing very quickly, but it's all being gained. Just like if time is passing and you're quickly and you're losing money. Every minute your stock is going down and going down, going down, then it's disaster. If your health is going down and time is passing quickly and you're losing strength, it's a disaster. But if you're in recuperation and the time is passing very quickly, that's nice. Or if you're making profit and time is passing quickly, every few minutes your stock is going up, that's nice. So we're in jail in this material world still for some time, another 20 years, 50 years, 100 years, whatever. So if the time is passing quickly and we're making progress on the path back to Godhead, that's good. Just like that benediction was there, that Muniputra Majiva, to the son of the sage, don't live. No, finish the business and go back to Godhead. You don't need to live and stay in this material world. Get out and finish. May you die soon and go back to Godhead. So if the time is going quickly, then it's nice. It's nice. The period of our confinement is quickly being, and we're quickly reaching the end. That's good. Hardly even notice it. Good. Therefore, it's mentioned that the rising and setting of the sun subtract the day of the life from one who's not hearing about Krishna, and adds a day to one who is Krishna conscious. Adds a day means a day profit. One day is more profit. And for the materialist, another day of loss. Okay? I was saying to Narmada Maharaj the other day, I said, you should live for many more years. He said, don't say that. Hey, finish this business and get out of here. Let me finish this business and get out of here. Huh? The devotee, he's not eager. Let me live on materialist. Desperately, he wants to stay in this material world. I'll give you an example. One aunt in my family, I just heard, she found out that she had cancer which was infecting her stomach. So then what can be done? Nothing can be done. The only thing that can be done is to remove the stomach. And so she asked the doctor, and if we don't do that, then what? He said, 6 months you'll be gone. So she's an old lady, 70-something, 80, you know, up there. So she was desperate that I have to have this operation. She was so much afraid that she wouldn't be accepted for this operation. because she so much wants to live. With no stomach, what's the use of living? And what's life for, materially speaking, but to eat and have sex? So they take your stomach out. Where's the fun? Where's the enjoyment? Where's the pleasure? Where's the... It's simply trouble. Not that they simply... And it doesn't... Nothing will work right if they take your stomach out, still you live. It's not that... It's just the beginning of more trouble and more trouble. Next, they'll take something else out. Next, something else out. And any surgery means pain and suffering and weakness and recuperation and uncertainty and complications, and especially in old age. Surgery is not a picnic. But she's thinking that somehow let me live. Somehow let me live. Now this is the illusion. One wants to, the materialist, desperately, he wants to live. Don't ask him why. He has no higher purpose in life, but he wants to live. It's called pranamoya. Just life itself. If I can live, then everything's worth it. And a devotee, if Krishna wants, I'll live. If Krishna wants, I'll be finished. He's not thinking, let me live on and on in this material world. Why should I? He's detached, as Krishna desires. Something else?
Maharaj, about it's in Dwarka, this prostitute society girls are mentioned. So, one was reading Srimad Bhagavatam, the beginning. It's a little bewildering, like, how do we understand who are these prostitutes in Dwarka when Krishna was present?
Yeah, everything was there. You can't have a city without prostitutes. So Dwarka was a complete city, prostitutes and all. In the material world, the abode of Krishna is displayed in such a way that it keeps pace with the material standard. Just like Krishna, he's taking birth. So there's no need of taking birth for Krishna. But just to keep pace with this material world, he enacts his pastime of birth. He grows up in the spiritual, in the spiritual reality, there's no need of growing up. Here we grow because you have to go through these different changes. Birth, growth, staying for some time, byproducts, dwindling, and death. In the spiritual world, there's no such changing from one form to the next, one status to the next. But just to keep pace with the material world, Krishna performs his pastime of growing up. Similarly, Krishna performs his pastime of dealing with demons. In the spiritual world, we don't find that demons are there. So the spiritual world is appearing within the material world in such a way that it's compatible with the material world. I don't know if that's an explanation, but that's true. Otherwise, it's also instructive for us that even the prostitute can be Krishna conscious. There's no restriction, ahaitukiya pratiyata, that Brahmin, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, prostitute, anything, Anyone can become Krishna conscious by being fully dedicated to the true love of Krishna. Doesn't matter what our material circumstances, everyone can serve Krishna and love Krishna. So it's instructive also. Is that all right?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, in the Sri Sri Six Astakam, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu prays that a moment is like 12 years or more. Can you please comment?
Govinda Vinahinam, by feeling separation from Krishna. Virana path. Just the opposite, when one is feeling pleasure, time seems to go just like that. And when one feels distressed, then time seems to pass with agonizing slowness. So that's another kind of ecstasy, or topmost ecstasy, feeling of separation from Krishna. That's another kind of inconceivable situation. In the material world, no one wants to suffer. No one wants to feel pain, no one wants to feel agony, no one wants to feel distress. So when we hear that in the spiritual realization there's suffering, there's distress, there's agony of separation, we think, I don't want to go through that. I'd rather stay on the neophyte platform and always be happy singing and dancing. If you become advanced, then advancement means that you're always suffering. And I'd rather not be advanced. That's not enjoyment. You think like that. Yeah, if the gopis are suffering, I wouldn't want to be a gopi. Because we carry over our idea of suffering to the spiritual world. We drag our baggage with us. We drag our concepts, our experience with us, and we think that that suffering must be something like this suffering. Because we have no experience, we can't understand what that suffering is. That suffering is another feature of transcendental enjoyment. So again, like iron and gold, that suffering in the material world is iron. And the suffering in the spiritual world is like gold. It appears to be the same thing, suffering. But it's completely different. It's nothing like the suffering of the material world. And similarly, the enjoyment in the spiritual world. We think, oh, I'd like to go to the spiritual world. I could kiss Krishna and embrace Krishna, and I can dance, and I can eat as much as I like, and I can do this, and I can do that, and I'll enjoy. So we think that the spiritual world is enjoyable by something like my enjoyment here. That's also not a fact. And therefore we have a relative idea of the spiritual world, that the I'd like to go there for the eating and the dancing, but I wouldn't want to go there for the suffering and the separation. Maybe I could, make a contract so that I get the good part and leave aside the bad part. Because we simply don't understand, it's all above our heads. And it's nothing like our experience here. And maybe iron and gold are both metal, but gold and iron are completely of different value. Thank you, Hare Krishna, glories to Srila Prabhupada. Salaveta Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai.